got a lot of stuff going on my little desk here. So, we were called to freedom. He just read Galatians 5, verses 13 through 18. We were called to freedom. And that's not a phrase that we usually think of. I have this high calling to freedom, right? Usually a calling is like when my granddad heard on the radio that Pearl Harbor had been bombed and told my grandma they'd been married for 3 months. He said, they're going to call me up and I'm going to go fight. That was not a calling to freedom, right? Usually we don't hear that phrase. We're going to unpack it today. We're going to talk about it. If I got up here today and I just spoke because it was my duty, because I was under obligation, because I said on the calendar that I was going to do it today, and I came and I spoke out of duty, this whole morning would look different, wouldn't it? If this morning, you know, I wake up and I give my wife a kiss and I say, good morning, honey, that was my duty to do today. If my kids came down and I said, good morning, Levi, and I gave him a hug, that was my duty as your father to give you that hug. Now go eat your breakfast. Our whole family would look different, wouldn't it? I'd probably have a black eye. Duty and obligation run out of fear. They're fueled by fear. They work because of fear. I drive 35 miles an hour down First Avenue because the speed limit's 30. Because I'm afraid of getting a ticket. I'm not afraid of getting in a wreck. I'm not afraid of making somebody mad because I just blew past them too fast. I'm afraid of the ticket. I file my taxes by April 15th. Not because I love to give the government money, but because I fear the fine. I fear the audit, right? I don't obey those rules out of my love for those things. I obey it out of fear. It's my duty. Honestly, I have lived in a country where the speed limits didn't matter. And I know what I do in those circumstances. Have any of you ever played Need for Speed? It's a car racing game. Come on. Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's like real life Need for Speed. But when my wife and kids were in the car, I drove slow because I loved them. And my wife was like clawing my arm off. Valentine's Day, 3 weeks away. Guys, here's a pro tip. The morning of Valentine's Day, don't give your wife flowers and chocolate and say, here you go, wife, as your husband, it is my duty to give you these flowers and this chocolate. Happy Valentine's Day. You'll get a black eye. But what if you did the same ritual so much? You did the same duty so many times that it became normal. And even though a long time ago you did it out of fear, now you just did it because that's just what you do. And you don't know any different. Every morning, I'm sitting downstairs, almost every morning, I'm sitting downstairs. My son Levi comes downstairs and he gives me a hug. What if that became just rigmarole, just ritual, just activity? And we thought that that was just what you have to do. And there wasn't any joy in that hug, and there wasn't any celebration in seeing my boy first thing in the morning. At some point, we got confused. And I say we, it's been happening for thousands of years. And we think that our identity is based on our actions. We think that who we are is because of what we do. Right? We think, I'm a lifeguard at the pool because I sit up on that chair and I watch and make sure nobody drowns. We think our identity is because of our activity. Just think on that for a second. We get confused and we think that our identity is based on what we do. In the book of Galatians, chapters 5 and 6, the Apostle Paul talks a whole bunch about the religious leaders of this day. In his day, they were really big on the outward activities being the thing that made you holy. They were really big on circumcision. And if this happened to a guy, then that would be a mark. It'd be like a scar. It'd be like an identifier that he was holy. And everything counted on that. If this outward thing happened, not even happened, if this outward thing was done to a man, then he was holy. And that was all that mattered. That was it. So people got bogged down into, you do this thing on the outside, you have this mark on you, you have this activity that you did once when you were 8 days old, and that seals it, and that means you're holy before God. It got really carried away to the point where people's attitudes were, I did this when I was 8 days old, so God better call me holy. Who's God in that scenario? Right? Who's sitting on the throne in that scenario? Not God. My dad used to have a phrase, he'd say, so how are things going since you've been sitting in God's chair? If you think God has to answer to you because something happened on the outside of your body that you could go and pay and have it done and it's done, you're mistaken. And that's what the Apostle Paul is trying to tell him. It says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 4 and 6, you are severed. Okay, the other thing is, Paul makes all kinds of puns and jokes that I can't get into today, but you'll have to read it on your own. You are cut off from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. If you think some outward act is going to make you holy, then you are cut off from Jesus Christ. You have fallen away from grace. Through the Spirit, by faith, we eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything. All the stuff that people do on the outside for people to see counts for nothing. In Jesus Christ, none of that counts, but only faith working through love. The thief on the cross, hanging next to Jesus. Jesus is dying. The thief on the cross says, remember me, Jesus, when you enter your kingdom. Jesus says to him, okay, you need to do this and this and this and this. Get off that cross and go do all these holy things, and then you'll enter my kingdom. No! He said, yes, today you will be with me in paradise. Yes! Is by faith alone, apart from our works, it says in Romans. We are justified by faith alone, our belief that it's true. So check this out. Our identity affects our activity. That's the truth. What we do comes out of who we are. Buying flowers for my wife on Valentine's Day does not make me her husband. But because I love her so much, I'm not going to buy her Valentine's Day flowers. She's saying amen. Because if I spend $50 on something that costs $10 the next day, she's going to be so mad at me. She's going to say, we could have gone to Moe's twice for these wilted flowers. Because she would take a home wrecker over flowers any day. Okay, maybe not a home wrecker. Identity comes first, and then we act out of our identity. Buying flowers does not make somebody a husband. A covenant commitment before God makes me a husband, and then I act out of that covenant commitment. I act out of that identity. Levi coming down in the morning and I give him a hug does not make him my son. But because he is my son, I'm happy to see him in the morning and I give him a hug. So why in the world do we have such a bad habit of turning our most deepest, intimatest, most intimate love affair, relationship in the whole wide world, why do we turn it into a list of rules? Galatians again. I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. The desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. The desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. They're opposed to each other. They keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. You will not find me on eHarmony.com. Not because it's against the law for me to have multiple wives, but because I love her so much, I don't even think about eHarmony.com. Does that make sense? I'm not living by a law that the Supreme Court says I can't have two wives. I'm living out of love for that one. That's how the Holy Spirit wants to work in us towards Jesus. It's not that I live by this fear of getting a speeding ticket. It's that I love my community. I love the people on the street. I love the police, and I don't want to trouble them. And out of that love, I drive normal speed. I know that's silly. Jesus Christ called us to freedom. We do not have to be afraid of the penalty of sin and death. He already took it on the cross. We don't have to walk in fear. We don't have to be afraid of what we do wrong. It already got paid for. It's done. And when he hung on the cross and he died for your sin, he knew about the sin you're going to commit this afternoon. And he died for it then. Talk about pay it forward. That is the ultimate pay it forward. That's the freedom he calls us to. I don't have to be afraid of condemnation. I don't have to be afraid of sin. I can live a life of love. I can live a life of love, of purity. I can come to Jesus in love and not say, I did my duty. Sunday morning church. Yes. Done. Holy. Everybody saw me there. I was holy. I was on TV. I'm holy. No. I do it because I love him. And I want to be around him, and I want to be around him in you. And I want to talk about him. And that's how we're led by the Spirit in love. Christ set us free from the law. He set us free from obligation and guilt and fear. It says in 1 John, perfect love drives out fear. So I'm only covering Galatians 5 today. Out of my obligation to preach on 5 and 6, I bailed. And I'm putting Galatians 6 on you. And I want to cheer you on to check it out and read it. Maybe we'll talk about it another time. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for calling us to freedom. Thank you for setting us free that we no longer have to serve you out of fear, but we can love you out of love and out of thankfulness and out of joy. Pray that you would drive this into our souls deep, Lord, that we would act out of our identity, and that we would stop defining ourselves by our activity, but we would define ourselves by the ID card of the Holy Spirit that you have put in us when we first believed. Thank you, Lord. Amen.